Oh, good morning, everyone. I think people were wondering that maybe we'd be pretty sparse in here, but you all made it. Praise the Lord. Even in the bad weather, thank you for your faithfulness. I've got to share this message. I've got a lot I want to share with you, but I'm not going to have the time to share it all. But we're going to do the best that we can. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 13. I want to start with, we'll be doing the entire, or most all of this chapter here of 1 Kings 13. Says that in the 23rd year of Josiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, Jephaniah, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 17 years. Now, we talked last week about a situation in Samaria. Y'all remember that? Well, this is pretty well like it, believe it or not. There's things that we really need to learn. You know, I know we're in the Christmas time today, and I'm thankful. I love Christmas. I don't care for the Santa Claus and all the other things that are going on, because I think it distracts us from the true meaning of what Christmas really is all about. And you know, we'll celebrate this whole Christmas thing and everybody will love it, but very few will ever receive Christ because of it. Here's all that God did, giving us his son. And a lot of people don't even care. Don't even think about it. It's not a big deal. Let's wrap presents. Let's have family. Let's have the celebration. And I think sometimes that's how God's word in and how we preach and all that we do, that we get so programmed to just listen. And I think we need to really understand and realize that God has so much he's trying to share with us, but a lot of times we actually take it the wrong way. And this is one of those, I believe, that people take the things of God the wrong way, because they don't understand really what God's trying to get across to us. You know, we've got a cat that we kind of inherited. It was dropped off, I guess. And one day we went home from, I think it was from church, and here's this basically a kitten. I said, what in the world? Well, the thing was eating stale bread that my wife was throwing out for the birds. And the cat was wild because it must have been really mistreated. Well, anyway, we started to feed it, and it tamed down. Now it's an inside-outside cat. And so anyway, Sherry was coming up, and y'all remember Sherry. I'm so glad she came up and then decided, getting up early. Of course, she didn't look like she was really awake when she's up. It took her about an hour before she looked awake. But she decided, well, I would just want to go to church. And so she wanted to see all of you and be here. So I'm thankful that she is thinking about you, you guys. She remembers you so well. But anyway, she's coming up, so they have a dog. They don't want to leave it at home. So they bring their dog with it. It's a good dog. And but dogs and cats don't mix. You ever notice that? Well, it's so cold, and it was going to be so cold out at night that we decided to catch the cat and take her and all of her food and everything, and we took a blanket and a box and tried to set it up for her, and I doubt if she even used it. But anyway, we took and put her in the garage because the garage stayed above freezing, as cold as it got. And so she'd be a lot better than just outside in 9-degree weather. So I catch her and I carry her down and I let her down, and she's like getting kind of upset with me because she doesn't want to be locked in the garage. You know, it's like I'm the meanest owner, you know, and I know she's hating me at the time. And that's how we are with God. See, God tells us to do things or not to do things, or to go here, to go there. And a lot of times we take offense of it because we don't know what God's doing. We just think, God, you're taking all my fun. You're making me do things that seemingly had no understanding. And so we get a little upset with God, and then we start making choices of whether we're going to do it or not. But see, we, like the cat, didn't understand our purpose, that it was for her good, that we did what we did, even though she didn't like it. There was a reason behind it. It wasn't to be mean to her, but it was trying to protect her. And see, that's what God does with us, with his instructions and with his word. And with preachers that preach sometime that we just like, yeah, I didn't like that one. And so we make choices and decisions, whether we're happy with it, whether we like it, whether we're going to do it, if it has any meaning at all. Why ain't he preaching a Christmas message? Well, come next year, you'll probably hear one. But you see how we are, and that this is kind of how it was, because God spoke to this young prophet. And instead of reading it, I prefer if you would read it, because I don't want to take the time to do that if it's all right with you. But anyway, in the first part of it, this young prophet was sent to this king that took over. And here he was offering an offering to an idol. And the prophet went up there, the young prophet went, and he spoke to the altar and condemned it for what it was being used for. And the king was upset. See, this was a big deal. This is life or death, because the king could have killed him on the spot. That's just how it worked there. And so the king stretched out his hand and he says, take him. And it said his hand withered and froze right there. Well, this scared him. And so what he did then is he asked this young prophet if he wouldn't pray to his God for healing. And the young prophet did, and God healed him. And he offered for the young man to come to his house, that he could eat and drink, be refreshed, and that he would reward him. And the young prophet said, no, I cannot eat nor drink, and I even have to go home a different way than when I came, when he came from Judah. And he said, if you would give me half of your house, half of everything you own, he said, I still wouldn't go. Wow, what a young man to take such a stand. And then he left. Well, there was an old prophet in town, and this old prophet was told by his sons what just happened. Of course, the old prophet, God wouldn't use him, because God knew he wouldn't be able to handle the chore. But the young man did. You know, sometimes we make choices and decisions, and we start into it with good intentions, but there's sometimes that maybe fear would take over. Our different understanding, maybe somebody would kind of talk you out of it or whatever. But anyway, he stood, made a decision, and told the king exactly what the Lord told him. And the Lord protected him through it, as he does us when we follow his instructions. Well, then he left, and now he's going out of town. And so the old prophet then, hearing what he did, he saddled a donkey, had his kids saddle him up, and he took off down the road to try to catch up to this young prophet. Well, when he finally found a young prophet, guess what? He was sitting under, it says, an oak. I'm sure it was a tree, an oak tree. And it was hot then, I'm sure, and he was sitting under it to cool himself a little bit. But, you know, have you ever asked yourself, why was he sitting under a shade tree? I mean, yeah, it might have been hot, but you would think he'd want to get out of the town as quickly as possible. But he's sitting around this tree. And so I kind of wondered and prayed about, I said, Lord, what's the deal here? I don't understand that. But some things came to mind. Sometimes you, after God does such a great thing in you, have you ever experienced that where God had you do something that was like, maybe you led your cousin to the Lord or some great thing happened. You prayed for somebody and they were healed and you're like, wow. And you feel so honored and so available to God. And you're thanking him for it. And sometimes you just want to sit and just kind of think about it and ponder, God. Wow, the king was going to take me, and Lord, you withered his arm. And then he asked me to pray, and Lord, you honored my prayer and healed him. And also, the altar that he spoke against actually broke, and all the ashes run out of it. He even said there was going to be a new king down the road, Josiah, that was going to kill all of these false prophets and priests that were doing this, and they were going to be burnt themselves on these altars where they worshiped. But he's sitting under a tree thinking about it. You know, when I went to Honduras and God moved, Sherry went with me. And the Lord moved that last Sunday, or second last Sunday that we were there. And all of them wanting to give testimonies. I was so honored and thrilled. I would think about it and just weep because of God using me the way that he did, knowing that it wasn't me, but it was all him. And I was so full of God. So full. I was excited to come back home that I could share it with the church and different churches and stuff, and they would just be excited about how God moves. Even today, healing works, which they never see. But when I got back to the United States, you know what happened to my experience under the oak tree? I became so depressed. I was so depressed. I was like, God, kill me. Put me out of my misery now. I was so devastated. See, I wasn't received, and the things of God was not received in the United States. And it broke my heart and almost killed me. So I wonder how this younger prophet was feeling sitting under the tree, thinking about what God had done. And then this old prophet came to him and he said, hey, I want you to come back home with me, and I want you to eat and drink with me and be, so you'll be refreshed and ready for that long trip back to home. And he said again, as he told the king, God told me. See, what is God telling us? At times, are we listening and adhering and being totally obedient? And this priest is asking him to go back. You know, there's a lot of people that can social drink. I don't drink at all. My wife and I, we won't touch it. We won't go around it. And it's not that probably we can't, and then I'm just so religious that, you know, I don't do it. That's not the problem. The problem is this. Why would I want to play with sin and go out with everybody? And people would say, oh, did you see the pastor? out there drinking? I think he was drunk. And so then I get a bad report and people are saying all kinds of things, and then it ruins my witness. There was a young man when I was first saved, John Wimmel was his name, I'll never forget him. He came to church with us. I'm a new Christian. I think I shared Jesus with him, and he was saved, but he didn't understand a lot of things. And he went down to the bar one day to witness to a lot of the bar people. A good thought, good idea. Probably not a good, wise idea of being a new Christian, because he wasn't very strong, kind of like this young prophet. And so he sat down, and they said, well, he sat down with these two guys, and he was going to share with them, and he knew them. And they said, hey, John, you want a beer? And he thought, well, yeah, while I'm here, I might as well have one. So he ordered a beer, and he's drinking a beer with them, and then he started telling them about Jesus. And of course, you know how people kind of get offended at that once in a while, but John was doing his best, really thinking that he was serving God. And the one guy slammed his beer down on the table, and he said, who do you think you are to preach at me about Jesus when you're doing the same thing? And he used a lot of colorful language. The same thing that I'm doing. You think you're better than me? And he says, I think you're worse than me because you know better and yet you do it. And then you want to tell me not to do it. Needless to say, these guys were not impressed and did not receive Jesus that day. Although we were taken to a bar once by a guy that I was working with, we were going to run a little shop. It was a meat shop for him. Remember that down in Chamoy? And it came dinner time, and he said, well, let's go eat. Charlene was with me, and Dale was his name. And Dale said, well, let's go across the street, because I think the restaurant's closed or it's not open that day. No. He says, we're going to go into the bar over there. And I'm like, oh, great. So we went into the bar and everything. And there was a guy sitting at the bar and had his beer and a couple more over here on the other side. And they had their drinks. And I wasn't making a scene or anything. I just walked in and we sat down at a table. And do you know, not one of them took a drink of their beers? I didn't really know them, but evidently they knew me. And they never touched their drinks until we left. But we sat there and have a hamburger and a Pepsi. And Dale even asked, you want a beer? No, thanks. See, folks, I don't care whether you drink or not. That's your issue. But you know, you can go, and a lot of people that might be a little weaker, they'll go in good pretense, and they'll take their beer, and they'll drink it with their friends, and I'm just going to have one. And pretty soon, there's two that you have. And then as they're talking, and one of them might say, man, I got a new drug. It's really good. You know, get you high, and there's really no side effect. I got something here. Would you like to try some? And then you may succumb. See, the young prophet was told by the old prophet, he said, come back with me. Man, I know you got to be thirsty and you got to be hungry. Come and eat and drink and then go home. And he says, no, God said. He said, well, an angel just spoke to me, and that's why I came to get you. And he said that God said it was all right for you to go back. And so he went. But see, do you see why God gave him the commandment? Don't eat or drink. get out of that place, even going a different way. Get out of there as soon as you can. Have nothing to do with it. And if he would have obeyed God, he would have lived. But see, he gave in. His hunger and his thirst ruled over everything. And when he said to angel, well, it must be okay then if an angel spoke to him. Do you see how we get in trouble and God wants to protect us? And yet we hear, we get things from God and say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then we compromise. Y'all see what God's laws and what he says to us in his word, how it has such meaning. And do you know, while they were eating and drinking, the prophet got a word from the Lord and he said, since you've disobeyed, you've eaten and drank and you came back. He said, you're not going to be in the same grave or in a place with your father. So he finished eating. What are you going to do? You might as well finish up. And he left. Shortly after he's left, it says a lion met him and killed him. He's laying on the street. People seen him. He didn't attack the mule that he was on or the donkey. And he didn't eat the body. There was no reason for it. You see, the word says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't always all say as well, you know, with sin, it says, like Cain and Abel, and the Lord spoke to him, Cain, and he says, sin is lying at the door, and it has a desire for you. Folks, there's a door that we can open to the enemy, and he can attack us. And God doesn't want that. That's why he gives us his word. And he speaks his laws in different things and has preachers preaching to be obedient to what the words say. Trust God. He knows. And it's a good reason why he's telling you what he's saying. And here the young man had a real opportunity to walk and to please God, and yet he compromised. And he lost it all. Folks, that's why it's so important to be obedient to the word. If you want to drink, that's probably okay. They drank back then. Of course, the water wasn't real pure, I guess, and they had wine, but yeah, they had good wells, so that's not the issue either. But if you're weak and stuff, I'm just so used to it, we just continue to do it. Well, if it doesn't cause you to go to drugs or get drunk all the time and all that, I guess it's okay. But for me, it's not. For me, it's not. And I don't judge people who do. I just know that there's temptation in there. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I drank before. I think the stupidest thing ever that you'd go out and spend $100, get drunk and puke it all up and wake up the next morning with such a hangover you want to kill yourself. Now, that's a lot of fun. But yet that's what we do when we disobey God's word. We open the door to sin who wants us. And the wages of sin is death, always. Folks, that's why I'm so serious about God's word. Am I perfect? Not even close. But I do my best. I'm willing to do without things. I know sin's fun, but it's deadly. We got to make choices. So let me just pray over you. I I have to go to the prison. They changed my times. Got to be there around noon. It's a good 2-hour drive, so. But anyway, folks, do you see how serious this all is? God loves us so much, and he tries to help us and teach us. And he says, I'm not trying to hurt you or destroy you. I'm not trying to take away all your fun. But he says, I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect you if you'll let me. Father, thank you for your word today. And I ask, Lord, that you would just bless us. Help us to see and understand, Lord, that you only have perfect love for us. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us and how you teach us. And, Lord, may we love you for it. And maybe today, Lord, this is the day that we need to make a choice. Instead of just hearing the word, maybe we need to receive the word. And so, Lord, I ask that you would give us strength to receive your word this day, your salvation, if we don't already have it. And we thank you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Let me read this promise over us. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.